Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Somebody in the media would test positive that would have any effect at all on players. It's just, there's none.
And there hasn't been any sort of change in testing protocol on your end. Are you being tested by the club? I assume you are.
You have to be tested before you come in.
Right.
Again, this MLB's laid out their protocols, tier one, tier two, tier three, in that really long 110-page document. But everyone here is being diligent, and a lot of social distancing, wearing masks all the time, and everything else. There's just not much interaction. And we're fortunate here with the new ballpark. A couple of different things. One, the writers are on a different level than the broadcasters, so there's really no interaction there. But then also these new television booths are really, really big. And so there's just so much space for everybody. So, as far as what everybody has to do here, it couldn't be easier. We could not be in a better spot.
CJ Nitkowski with his former pitcher, currently a Ranger broadcaster. And obviously one of the things we appreciate about baseball gets our mind off of all of that. That said, how about a big game tonight for the Heinemann brothers, CJ? You got the Heinemann brothers on a major league field for the first time. That's got to be very exciting for them.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, I missed Scott's press conference. I'm going to have to go back and watch it as far as talking about it. But no doubt, I mean, the idea of, first of all, even having a brother that's playing professionally, I mean, that's such a big deal. And for you both to get to the big leagues and then play on the same field. Scott's not in the lineup tonight, but hopefully before this series gets over, he'll be able to take in a bat with his brother behind the plate. I think that's a nice little feel-good story at a time when we're looking for as many as we can possibly get.
What was your reaction to the news about the Cardinals having two players testing positive? Did that sort of shift your resolve in any way about baseball's ability to keep grips on this?
I wasn't surprised at all. I think that we should absolutely expect and anticipate that there will be positives. Baseball can't control a virus, right? They don't have that ability to do that. But everybody knew coming in that there would probably be some positives. And the biggest thing is to trace the behavior and see what's going on and handling it the best that you absolutely can. I mean, listen, you always wish the numbers were zero. But the reality is that so far is that these players have, for those that, have tested positive, the recovery rate has been 100%. There hasn't been a single player that's had to go in the hospital or, a lot of these guys are so asymptomatic and they're able to do the best they can to stay in shape while they're out. Some guys are out for a few days, some are out longer. But it's not baseball's job to be able to stop a virus. That's impossible. Their role in this is to make sure that they're taking care of things as much as possible and giving us something. So many guys want to play. So many in the industry want to be out there. And for those that don't, have the option to opt out. And it doesn't mean that, you're careless or you're reckless or you're worried about, the idea or living a fantasy that there's going to be zero positives. But I would say that it doesn't change much. The big thing right now seems to be some of the behavior of guys that might not have been taking it seriously.
I don't know if you saw what happened with the Giants last night as far as Gabe Kapler's gaffe in extra innings. But
I'm aware, yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you, as a former pitcher, first of all, do you give Tyler Rogers as much credit as we have today for taking it in stride and saying, hey, we all make mistakes, I'm not upset at my manager, and also just as somebody in that clubhouse, how many times can something like this happen without the team losing faith in its manager's ability?
Oh, I think Gabe was pretty accountable about it. I sat in on his press conference again today, and he seemed really accountable about it and just things going a little bit haywire and losing track. I think the way that he handled that, the way that Rodgers handled it, was amazing. I mean, it's a really good example because it's so easy to get angry. It's so easy when you have a big league uniform on to kind of, you know, everyone's telling you the world kind of revolves around you a little bit and to get upset and to throw a fit about it. But it was amazing. And what a tremendous example. But it goes to the fact that you could tell that doesn't happen unless he doesn't respect his manager. And if he doesn't believe that his manager has his back. And so whenever you have that confidence in your manager or is ever leading your team, it makes it easier. Anytime something comes up, whether it's something like this, or you feel like maybe you were treated unfairly, you handle it in stride. You handle it much more professionally. I would use the example of Bobby Cox, who I was fortunate enough to play for. Whenever you put on that Atlanta Braves uniform during that time period, there was nobody that was a bigger fan of you than Bobby Cox. And if you notice, you never saw players leave there, kind of whether they got released or they weren't getting the playing time that they wanted. They never threw daggers on the way out, right? Because they were treated professionally, they respected their manager, and so in turn, the manager and the organization got the same respect back from the players. So no doubt an oversight. It's a one-time thing, and you had a guy that was perfectly fine with it, understood it, and I think that just speaks to the respect that Gabe gets in that clubhouse.
CJ Nitkowski with his former Major League pitcher. He's a Ranger broadcaster, and the Rangers taking on the Giants tonight. CJ, was MLB's 8-game suspension for Joe Kelly, was that appropriate? And you being someone who played in the major leagues, should we expect Houston to revisit that whole situation down the road, maybe even next season?
It's up to them. I don't know if they feel like they need to have any kind of retaliation. I thought eight games was too many. You know, these things, listen, it's never appropriate to throw somebody's head and be very clear about that. That's never appropriate. The pitch to Correa was a slider. There was also some back and forth. They were not completely innocent in this. And don't forget, I mean, throwing at someone's head, completely inexcusable. Nobody was hit. There's a proper way and an improper way to do it. I think, you know, if that was intentional by Joe Kelly to go that high, that's a problem. He is a guy that sometimes will struggle with command. So if he was trying to throw, say, behind Alex Bregman in that spot and it was up too high, that's kind of inexcusable. There's not a place for that. But at the same time, you have a fan base in Los Angeles that believes that they were cheated out of a World Series, which is a pretty big deal. So instantly, Joe Kelly becomes a folk hero. But it's not appropriate to do it that way. I think the suspensions are too long. I had tweeted out a video of Lance McCullers Jr., who threw a ball a couple of years ago directly behind Mike Napoli. It was kind of across his upper back, clearly trying to hit him and completely missed him but went behind him and inappropriate. And there was 0 days fine. He did not get a suspension, zero days suspended. He received no suspension for that whatsoever. And it was interesting to see his comments and to say that Joe Kelly was being unprofessional and the way he acted going toward the dugout was inappropriate when a pitcher on the Astros did that exact same thing to the Rangers a couple of years ago. You never like it when it's your guy, but you know, the hypocrisy there to me was pretty obvious.
One more before we let you go, CJ. You're obviously a Rangers broadcaster. You guys are in town. What should Giants fans know about this Rangers team? What's the Ranger to watch?
Well, a couple of good things that are happening here. First of all, they're built on their starting rotation. Mike Minor was one of the best in baseball, as was Lance Lynn. So you get Minor tonight. Corey Kluber, unfortunately, got hurt. That one's going to sting a little bit, but it's Jordan Lyles and Colby Allard. So you get the 4 and 5 starters. Allard will be sliding in. For Corey Kluber, but you know, some good things happening here. Some good young hitters. Nick Solak, who was hitting second tonight, is a guy that's worth watching. He gives pretty incredible at bats, and I think he's going to start seeing some more steady playing time. He had seen kind of just more left-hander starting pitching opportunities, but it looks like he's going to be in there a little bit more. Willie Calhoun is a pretty exciting guy as well to go along with the Joey Gallo power, and so it's starting to come together here. Chris Wood, of course, second year. Manager with the Rangers and getting the buy-in that they're looking for, but there's definitely some good things happening. But right now, this club is relying heavily on starting pitching, and so Mike Minor leading off tonight will really need to set the tone to give the Rangers a chance to win this series.
CJ, thank you so much for your time. We know you're very busy today. Have a good call. We appreciate it. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Have a great day. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too. CJ Nitkowski, Rangers broadcaster. Rangers and Giants tonight. Here's that Giant lineup tonight. You've got Slater in right field, Flores at first, Yaz in center, Pence in left, Longoria at third, Solano at second, Ruff the DH, Tromp, catching Dubon at short, and Logan Webb will be the starting pitcher for the Giants, who playing a little better than people thought, but last night was a tough one. Is there a shred of truth to what his very diplomatic answer contained as far as, hey, what Tyler Rogers did last night showed that the Giants still, they have the utmost respect for their manager?
Nash just told me not to talk.
All right, we have that coming up. And how about this? The early season capital of baseball disappointment. Are we living in it? That's coming up next. Whitey, Ratto, and Kolsky. That's Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky. Whitey in for Damon. And that'll be brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware. Outdoor Supply Hardware now has 8 great locations, including Berkeley at Ashby and San Pablo Avenue. Stop by for all your grilling, outdoor living, and lawn and garden needs. Find hours, locations, and other info at osh.com. Damon, Ratto, Kolsky. Whitey in for Damon. 95.7 The Game.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Damon. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. The NBA restart still scintillating. We had 2 great games last night with the Jazz knocking off the Pelicans. Ingram for 3 at the buzzer. No good. And the Lakers holding off the Clippers last night. And today in
Paul George at the buzzer. No good.
Sorry. Yeah. How about that with LeBron, guarding Kawhi, and then switching to guarding George on the last possession of the game?
That's some vintage 2014 LeBron James defense right there.
This afternoon, Portland 140, Memphis 135 in overtime. Ray Ratto, I don't need to tell you that game has Western playoff 8 spot ramifications. Not Eastern, Western 8 seed ramifications.
No, it did. And that's why I think that they played as well as they did. In fact, I thought it was interesting to look at Twitter when Portland went ahead 124-122 late in the fourth, and everybody was raving about Carmelo Anthony. And then when he missed the three-pointer with 7 seconds left, they ripped him a new one. He literally is on a shot-to-shot basis with the nation.
Hey, Melo had a really good game, though. I mean, a really good game for Melo. Contributed, hit some big shots. Yes, he missed the potential game winner, but hit some that kept them in the game. And look, this team is better than where they've been because they've been injured all year and they're finally healthy. And it's kind of a bummer that they're in the spot they're at because it's hard to envision them winning any playoff series, but the more I think about it, the more I kind of want them in the playoffs because I think they give the Lakers the best run of any of those potential 8 seeds.
Dame Lillard is just so much fun to watch. Their biggest issue still is defense, and, you know, they didn't play much defense today.
Nope.
But they get the W in overtime.
Well, Whitey, can I ask you a question? How does this impact Carmelo? Can he play the 3? Because you have Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic back. Melo, the only way he's going to get significant playing time is playing the 3.
Yeah, and he's lost a lot of weight, right? I saw, you know, I'm glancing at the game here. I have to look at the box score to give you a better answer. I don't know, Matt or Ray, if you have a better answer. I don't know how well he played today other than he made a big shot.
No, he played quite well today. Oh, defensively, he's never great.
I mean, no, he's like terrible defensively, and he's never not going to be terrible defensively. What you get, you can see how good he is by looking at the box score and the play-by-play. Because he's not going to change the game any other way, but today he did play well.
Yeah, he's that's right. I'm not quite as negative about his defense, but he's not a good defender, never has been, and never will be. Certainly not, you know, starting now at age 35 or whatever it is. So I think if you can get him to shoot the ball efficiently, that's the contributions you can hope to have from Carmelo Anthony. And, you know, in this game, he plays 37 minutes and goes 7-for-10. Hit all his free throws, 7 rebounds. 5 turnovers, not great. But I think that's a pretty good Carmelo Anthony game. I'm not sure it's going to get a whole lot better than that. So Dame and CJ are the ones who are going to have to do the heavy lifting, but they need help. And Carmelo Anthony can provide that at least on one end of the floor.
Yes.
I don't know that they... So all I was going to say is I don't know that they have anybody on this roster that's going to turn their defense around.
Yeah, they're very talented. Ultimately, defense will be the reason they don't get as far as they would like. And if you're attacking that team, that's one of the first spots you're attacking is Carmelo at the three. But a very entertaining win today. And right now we have the Celtics and the Bucks going at it on ESPN. So that means Mike Breen is back, Mike's side, and he had a chance already today to drop his first bang.
Pass outside, Wesley Matthews, bang! I've been waiting to say that for months.
We can tell.
Would the first shot, no matter what it was, going to be a bang?
Even if it was a layup.
So the NBA is back, and we welcome the NBA back. Now, I wanted to see what you guys thought of CJ Nitkowski and his answer when we asked about Kapler last night, Tyler Rogers, and his response saying, hey, you made a mistake. Yeah, I know that. C.J. Nitkowski said, oh, we'll get the answer just a minute here, but C.J. saying, you know what, it shows how much they respected him. Are you buying that at all?
I actually think he has a point just in terms of if he had already lost the clubhouse, Tyler Rogers probably is not so forgiving. You know, and it doesn't mean he would have been like Kapler's trash, but it might have been more like, you know, it was a really tough situation. Obviously, that disrupts my situation, and it wasn't great. Hopefully, it doesn't happen again. And he can say that without, you know, being awful, but he sort of went to bat for the guy. And I guess I see CJ's point that you probably don't go to bat for a guy you don't have some level of respect for.
Well, yeah, I think it says a lot about Tyler Rogers. I don't know what it says about Gabe Kapler, but this is what C.J. Nitkowski had to say.
Well, I think Gabe was pretty accountable about it. I sat in on his press conference again today, and he seemed really accountable about it and just things going a little bit haywire and losing track. I think the way that he handled that, the way that Rogers handled it, was amazing. I mean, it's a really good example because it's so easy to get angry. It's so easy when you have a big league uniform on to kind of, you know, everyone's telling you the world kind of revolves around you a little bit and to get upset and to throw a fit about it. But it was amazing. And what a tremendous example. But it goes to the fact that you could tell that doesn't happen unless he doesn't respect his manager. And if he doesn't believe that his manager has his back. And so whenever you have that confidence in your manager or is ever leading your team, it makes it easier. Anytime something comes up, whether it's something like this or you feel like maybe you were treated unfairly, you handle it in stride. You handle it much more professionally. I would use the example of Bobby Cox, who I was fortunate enough to play for. Whenever you put on that Atlanta Braves uniform during that time period, there was nobody that was a bigger fan of you than Bobby Cox. And if you notice, you never saw players leave there, kind of whether they got released or they weren't getting the playing time that they wanted. They never threw daggers on the way out, right? Because they were treated professionally. They respected their manager. And so in turn, the manager and the organization got the same respect back from the player. So no doubt an oversight. It's a one-time thing. And you had a guy that was perfectly fine with it, understood it. And I think that just speaks to the respect that Gabe gets in that clubhouse.
Ray, I think that's the only time we are ever going to hear anyone compare Gabe Kapler to Bobby Cox.
And it's profoundly, it's just not, I mean, Bobby Cox is Bruce Bochy, you know, plus about, you know, 5 years. He's managed longer than Bochy and is considered one of the elite managers in the history of the sport. So Gabe Kapler doesn't have that throw weight. Also, Tyler Rogers doesn't have the throw weight to bury his manager at this stage of his career. The most he could have done to express unhappiness is to say, you know, guys, that's not for me to say, and just duck the question. He did what he has to do, given sort of the cultural strictures of the sport. And I'm not saying that he dislikes Kapler or doesn't, but there's only one answer for that question when you're Tyler Rogers. There might be a different answer if you're Buster Posey, who's been there a while. And even then, he would probably err on the side of being a diplomat. Because for the most part, players don't want to be public about, you know, any disagreements with management, especially at a time like now when none of that will play well. So I don't think there's anything instructive about what Rogers said one way or the other about, you know, how Kapler is regarded in the room. That's going to come out in time. And this has only been, you know, 7 full days of baseball. So it's still very early in the process for any of that, if there is any of that to process.
So you don't think, Ray, that if you're the Giants and you're looking at how do we make sure this doesn't happen again, you don't think a possible solution, not that it would have changed anything last night, but, hey, maybe we should get him a more experienced bench coach. His bench coach is very inexperienced. I'm not saying that that was a bench coach's fault, but I think if you're the Giants and you're looking at what are we going to do to make sure that doesn't happen again, that's one of the things I would look at. What would you do?
There's nothing to do. I mean, if you throw the bench coach under the train 7 days in, it looks like
something. Yeah.
No, you don't do anything with him. It looks like panic. It looks like you're blaming somebody else for a gaffe the manager owned. There's nothing here about the bench coach that requires anything. I mean, he's not the culpable one. The manager is. And to his credit, Kapler didn't try to front this off on anybody else. But no, that if they did anything to any member of staff based on what happened last night, players would know immediately this is a crap show, nobody knows what they're doing, and they will start bailing out. So no, what you do is what they're doing right now is Farhan is sitting in his office, he's done grinding his teeth, he's probably already had his chat with Kapler, and they move on and hope that in time that the fans move on too.
See, perhaps you're right, but my instinct would be the players were shown it's a crap show last night, and adding some experience to the staff might be a way to convince them that, look, we see it too, and we're not just going to let it fester.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe. I'm just looking at any possible thing you can do, and doing nothing at this point, I think they have to do whatever it takes, whatever that might be, to make it less likely. Because if that happens one more time, they're going to have to make a really embarrassing decision. If it happens again, you're going to have to let the guy go or kick him upstairs or something, and everybody loses.
True, but that's not, I mean, look, we've seen how Farhan Zaidi feels about Gabe Kapler. If he throws him under the bus now, every manager who he ever interviews after that knows, this guy gave this guy 7 days or 10 days, whatever it is. This is going to have to happen again before Farhan has to address it in a serious / disciplinary yell at you in the office kind of way. But that's not the play right now. It's not what Farhan would do. It's not what the players want to see. It's one of those where you just grit your teeth and eat it. Because if you think this manager is going to do this again, then you hired the wrong manager to begin with. But he did this in his first week in Philadelphia, and they stayed with him for 2 years. So I don't see that there's anything to be done, and we'll see if Kapler's learned from it.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Steve in Fairfield on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Steve, what do you got
on
Gabe Kapler?
Hey, Matt, I agree with Ray completely on this. You guys are way off base. It's kind of right down the middle. You do not go and have some experience.
I'm sorry, we lost. Steve, I'm sorry. I apologize, Steve. You're breaking up there in Fairfield. Thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. Apologize.
He agrees with Ray.
That's why I had to let him go.
And that's why they screwed with the call, and that's why he's not on the line.
I'm sorry. Did you say you agree with Ray? You're out of here.
Yeah. Sorry, we can't hear a word you're saying.
That was actually just Whitey. It was just Whitey rubbing a plastic bag against his microphone.
Yeah. If they did do something, I don't think it would be them throwing Kapler under the bus. I think last night he flung himself. He crawled under there. But I understand the point you're making, Ray.
He's lying on the train tracks right now, Whitey. Someone's just got to get him off of there.
Yeah, and that's not Farhan's fault necessarily. Fingers crossed it won't happen again. And they're lucky that it didn't have anything to do with the outcome last night, too.
True. If that had been the thing that vomited that game up. Right. If the game was tied when that happened, I think this would be an even more dramatic conversation.
Yes, and it's pretty dramatic as it is. I don't think any way around that. We're going to try Steve in Fairfield again. Okay. 888-957-9570. Steve, the floor is yours once again.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call again. Yeah, I agree with Ray completely. What you do is you hire a competent manager that knows the basic rules of the game. And if he doesn't know the basic of the rules of the game and doesn't learn the basic rules of the game, the only thing you could do is at some future point get rid of that manager. You take away all credibility when you hire a bench coach to babysit a manager. Are you guys ridiculous? Ray, you nailed it.
All right, thank you. But you've got
Steve,
a bench
let me assure
coach
you, you will
no
never be allowed on the air again for that.
No, absolutely. Fairfield. My Uncle George used to be the mayor of Fairfield. You think I'm going to look down my nose at somebody from Fairfield? Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but inexperienced managers have had experienced bench coaches many, many times without destroying their credibility.
You've got inexperienced manager and bench coach and the whole coaching staff. So that's the potential issue.
Look, the fact is Farhan signed off on every coach. In fact, he probably hired most of them.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
This is not mm-hmm. Gabe Kapler picked his own stable of guys.
Not the point. You're right, but not
no,
the point.
No, but it is the point because it goes to the question of who's going to pull the trigger if something happens. And it's not going to be we're getting rid of the bench coach. It's going to be, you know, this is the last time that happens. And if it happens again, then maybe he cleans out the whole staff. But it's wrong to blame the bench coach for not tackling the manager.
Coach.
Keep going back to blaming the bench coach, and nobody wants to fire the guy. The whole point is just the entire staff. Maybe take bench coach out of it. Would it be so crazy to just bring in an additional member of the coaching staff who has significantly more experience than potentially the rest of them combined? Because right now it's a group of people with very, very little major league experience of any, the whole group. So, you know, again, it's not about solving last night's problem specifically. It's about perhaps recognizing this is a staff with no experience that might could use some. And
that's the problem I have with this, Matt and Ray, is that this the whole thing, going out getting Kapler and then bringing in a bunch of coaches with no experience, it actually reeks of arrogance. Some of the things the Giants have done here with, they're not telling Gausman when he's starting. Tyler Rogers was an opener. It's almost as if they're trying to reinvent the wheel and show everybody, we don't have a very good team, but we're going to do things differently, and this is all going to work out. And it smacks of arrogance, and they have done nothing to justify any arrogance whatsoever to this point. And to me, that's puzzling and frustrating.
Ron Wotus is the third base coach. He's in the dugout at the time. Why is nobody yelling about that? The fact is there are guys there who, you know, if you really think the job here of the coach is to make sure the manager doesn't do stupid stuff, I guarantee you that coach will be fired the next day. It is up to the manager to handle this on his own. This is not about anybody else. And looking for somebody else to save Gabe Kapler from himself it's not the way that baseball handles this, and B, it's not the way the Giants would handle it. This is not anybody's responsibility but the manager, and he has to learn that you can't do that again. Period. If you do, your job's in jeopardy. But it's nobody else's job, and it's nobody else's situation. It's Gabe Kapler's, because he's the guy who didn't know.
So here's the thing. I don't think there's any question that Gabe Kapler knew about this rule. Like, this was not the first time someone told Gabe Kapler, hey, after the pitching coach makes a mound visit, there's got to be at least one more pitch before you can go take a guy out. He has been made aware of that rule at least once in his baseball life. I'm sure of it. So I don't think there's any way to interpret this as a case of, oh, forgot to read the rule book, but I'll read it tomorrow and it won't happen again. There's something about the way he's going about this that's leading to bonehead, brain fart type mistakes. And sure, I guess the answer could be just he needs to spend more time talking baseball with Ron Wotus. But it does strike me that if sort of brain dead errors of focus are a mistake, someone who spent more time in a dugout might be able to be helpful in avoiding that sort of mistake again. Cause I don't think there's much of a chance of him doing the exact same thing again. Something tells me this rule is now seared into his brain. But if he's going to make another similarly boneheaded mistake, that's just as big of a problem. So does having a mentor around fix everything? No, but mentors are generally a pretty good thing, I think. And if you can provide some mentorship for Gabe Kapler in this instance, I don't know, man. If he didn't lose credibility by trying to take a pitcher out right after the pitching coach went to the mound, I don't know that bringing in veteran experience is going to cost his credibility.
No, he has the veteran experience in WOTUS. If he wants WOTUS to become his mentor, that's going to happen. But I don't know what their relationship is one way or another. I mean, maybe he is already mentoring him, and Kapler just had a total brain spasm. I mean, that's another possibility. But he has all the tools at his command to make sure, A, this doesn't happen again, and that players continue to have confidence in him if they still do. I mean, they've got people there who can do that. And that's why they kept WOTUS. I mean, WOTUS was part of the old regime. There was no reason why they had to hold on to him. They did that because they wanted him in the dugout. Now, if they want him to all of a sudden be the guy who holds on to Kapler's belt loop when he wants to go out and make a pitching change, then that's something that Farhan's going to do.
All right. Yeah.
It's just, to me, it's the only thing they can do right now. They cannot fix a problem that happened the night before. They have to make sure that it doesn't happen again, and without undermining either the manager's ability to have presence in the clubhouse or to make the players think they are being run by a dope. And that's going to take a while, but it's not going to happen if they start making changes or changing assignments or making Ron WOTUS the vice manager. I mean, they're just going to have to eat this one, live with it, and then hope things get better at some point.
Yeah, at this point, I think maybe they are managed by a dope, but maybe he can improve on that. Fingers crossed. It's incredible that it happened. Quickly here, I wanted to ask you guys what you thought of the news today, the Monday Night Football news. We have a new Monday Night Football crew. ESPN says the new Monday Night crew is going to be Louis Riddick. Yes, love Louis Riddick. About time. Steve Levy and looks like Brian Griese going to be the new Monday Night Football crew. Excited? Don't care. We're not going to have football anyway. What does it matter? Where are you? I'm excited, especially about Louis Riddick.
I think Louis Riddick's a really good football analyst. I think this booth proves how far Monday Night Football's fallen. Because Steve Levy's nobody. I mean, all due respect, he's. I like Steve Levy on SportsCenter and whatnot, but that's not a name for the play-by-play voice of Monday Night Football. That does not seem commensurate with what Monday Night Football used to be by any stretch. Part of me is like, why not just keep Tess and Booger and add Louis Riddick? Because I don't really see the difference.
So just not enough star power for you? I can see that.
Well, no, I mean, it's not even for me. Like, I don't know exactly what this booth will sound like, right? It could end up being really good. That I'll have to wait and actually watch it. But in terms of the announcement, if you wanted to move the needle with the announcement of Monday Night Football broadcasters, this ain't it.
Okay. In all fairness, this is a report. It's not an announcement yet. But obviously, if this is the crew, then at some point they're going to have to announce it.
Right.
To your point. What do you think, Ray? The old days of Monday Night Football, Dandy Don and Howard Cosell. Does the Monday Night booth still require more star power than we're going to get with Riddick, Levy, and Greasy? Actually, Greasy's kid. I still consider Greasy's kid.
Monday Night Football is no longer the elite property it used to be. Sunday Night Football is the elite property, and the guy that ESPN wanted was the voice of Sunday Night Football, and that was Al Michaels. And they got told no on that. I think these guys are probably placeholders until they can figure out how to get the next big name. Because quite frankly, in a perfect world, they might use Steve Levy as just sort of a, you know, play-by-play guy slash background noise, and hopefully get Kirk Herbstreit as one of the two guys in the booth. I think that's what they would like to do, but that's asking a lot because Herbstreit is already doing two college games a day. So I think ESPN's problem is they have a distressed asset, and none of the big players in broadcasting view it as a stepping stone to anything. I mean, the reason why they went to Tessitore and McFarland is because both of those guys were eager and ambitious, but they didn't work well by all accounts. When I watch football and those guys, I hit mute again. I don't mind watching sporting events where people are not in my ear. So I'm taking the word of other people who listen to them a lot, and they didn't resonate. I know when I've heard Tessitore on college games, he was way too excited. He over-emoted. He was almost trying to sell the game to you rather than try to broadcast it. But I don't know if he did that on Monday night. All I know is they got away from them pretty quickly, and I don't think that they're particularly married to this group either. I think they're basically trying to kill a penalty till they get a big name, and it may be a while before they do that.
I had heard Damon Radwanowski were in the running. I don't know if that were true. I also heard they were after Peyton Manning, which I find harder to believe than reports that they were after you three. Coming up, is it bubble or bust for pro sports? That's next. Damon Radwanowski, Whitey in for Damon on 95.7 The Game. And that will be brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Damon Radwanowski continues on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday, Whitey in for Damon. Damon's back on Monday, 95.7 The Game. We were just talking about the new Monday Night Football booth. Yeah, it hasn't been officially announced yet, but reports are that Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Louis Riddick will be the new Monday Night crew. That means Joe Tessitore, Booger McFarland, bye-bye. They weren't there long. Before we move on, Ray Ratto and dear listener Matt Kolsky, who would you say was the best football announcer ever? I know on the station we just did the top 10 Bay Area athletes of all time. Who comes to mind all time, the number one or maybe handful, top three, best TV football announcers of all time? 888-957-9570. Who would you say, dear listener, who's the best TV football announcer of all time? I bet John Madden's going to get the most votes, but what would you guys say?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking just overall, I only get to pick one announcer, play-by-play or analyst. I think I go Madden. Cosell's before my time. I have no frame of reference. If you're talking broadcast team, I think I go Summerall Madden.
Wow.
But I got to say, if you just want a play-by-play guy, it's either Al Michaels or Joe Buck for me.
Ray?
Play-by-play, Summerall, analyst. Yeah, it's Madden. I don't think there's anybody close on that side. There have been very
except
good
Romo,
analysts,
of course.
But
yeah,
not except for Romo. Madden changed the form of the job, and people are still feeling that change. Analysts used to be like Paul Christman, who, you know, basically would tell you, here's where the safety man is. Madden made the game visceral and was incredibly important in translating what was actually happening on the field into people's homes. So Romo's not close. Romo is following distantly in the footsteps of the guy who changed the form for good. And now I'm not diminishing Romo, but he doesn't compare to Madden because nobody does, because nobody gets to be the trailblazer except the first guy, and that was Madden.
Yeah, but
the interesting
that,
thing
that...
about Romo. Yeah, I'm sorry, Matt, if I may. The interesting thing about Romo, you brought him up when you said that, raised my eyebrows because, yeah, he's very unique. I know he hasn't been around as long as, you know, we're talking about Pat Summerall, Swedish mid, Duck's bed. You know, Pat Summerall goes back decades, and I'm with you on Pat Summerall. And Romo just got here, but already, I mean, to me, clearly he's in the conversation. He's not Madden.
Agreed.
I'm glad he's not Madden, but he's had a huge impact, and he really stands out in the crowd today. Of all the analysts, there's nobody like Romo.
Totally agree. He's completely unique, at least by today. You know, if you listen to all the different analysts today, he's one of a kind. I think he provides a level of insight to the game that most of them do not. And Well, I just told you I'd pick Madden. I do think Romo is closer than Ray would suggest. And for what it's worth, although everything Ray said is true about trailblazing, that doesn't do me any good when I'm watching the TV. So Madden gets credit for that. But if we're just talking about who do I want to listen to, you know, it's great that he's a trailblazer. That doesn't affect it. And I think Romo, especially considering how little I've seen of him, is remarkably close for my money.
But the question wasn't who's the best right now, because I think he and Collinsworth are either one and two or 2 and 1, but they asked
not
all
even close
time.
Ray, it's not even close. Romo's way better than Collinsworth.
Yeah, I'm with Whitey.
I just
on
said
that.
They're either 1 and 2 or 2 and 1. Don't question me. Say you're sorry. See how that works.
They're like 1 and 7.
See how we
they're
get just along together when we understand that basic rule.
Huge gap between those two. Huge
okay.
Chasm.
Right. Let's move past that. The fact is, if you want to change the question, who's the best right now? I don't have a problem if you want to be dogmatic about Romo. But if you say best all time, Romo is light years short of Madden because he can't be the guy who reinvents the form.
The form's been reinvented
to a point where nobody's going to be able to change that because they want. I mean, Romo's a beneficiary of that because he emotes a lot. I mean, he is a more energetic analyst than most. And the only reason he gets to be that is because Madden was that.
Yes, he walks on the shoulders of those who came before, no doubt. But I also think he has, we'll see how it affects the form, but I don't think there's any question that he's doing something a little different than any of the other analysts that are going right now. And I think that has a chance to change the form. I wouldn't rule it out. He's early on, and it's not just his enthusiasm. He somehow manages to be both more emotional and more technical than almost every other broadcaster in football. And I think that's a kind of a staggering achievement for a guy in his first few years.
Ray, I go back a ways. I don't know about you. The first analyst I remember, I don't even know who it was.
You. I think we all know that. So
I remember as a kid, Al DeRogatis and Kurt Gowdy. I don't know who they are, but I've heard a lot of analysts, and the thing about Romo is that he stands out. Yeah, he just got here, but if you look at him and you compare him to others, he's already had an impact that very few have had. And I agree, he is reinventing the form to a degree. And to say, well, he'll never be what Madden was, how do you know? I mean, Madden was great. Romo he's been like a breath of fresh air. He's extremely unique, and he gives you great information, and he can tell you what's going to happen before it happens. The only guy I've seen do that before was Hank Stram during a 49er game when no one knew that the 49ers drew up their plays. They scripted their plays, and he got the script, and he tried to play it off like he knew the plays, and then someone called him on it. That's the only other guy I've seen do that like Romo does.
Look, I'm not going to get put in the position of saying Romo's not good.
No, you Romo, didn't say that. We know that.
Well, but wait a minute. You know, what I'm telling you is we only know what he's done to date. We can't project into the future. We have no idea. He could become a babbling idiot in 2 years. There's no way of knowing. What we know is where he is now. And where he is now is, to me, significantly short of Madden, because we've gotten to see Madden's entire body of work. Now, when Romo retires, we can make a more educated guess. But right now, based on what he's done, what Madden's done, Madden is much better. And even if you want to put Romo second, and I'll be happy to let you guys do that, he's still a distant second.
Yeah.
Anything,
okay.
Kolsky, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the standard is, but sure. I think I don't know if you're saying differently, Whitey, but I don't think either of us had Romo ahead of Madden. I think we're just open to the possibilities of the future of Romo, as opposed to the presumption that he couldn't possibly have the impact that Madden had. I think, you know, as Kevin Garnett famously said, a different KG, but not a greater one, Whitey. As he once said, anything is possible.
Well, here's what Ray did, and we can check the tape, and it's what Ray does, and it's beautiful. But what he did was he said something very dismissive of Romo, and you and I both said, hey, Romo's way better than that. And then Ray backs off and says, no, I didn't say he isn't good, I just said he's not Madden, when initially he really had a very disparaging attitude towards Romo. So even though he's telling us how wrong we are, Matt, you and I have flushed him out of the underbrush, if you will. 888-957-9570. Carlos in Concord on 95.7
The Game. Hello.
Yes, yes. Hello, Carlos. How are you?
Good, good. I'm just going to, I mean, there's no question it's Madden all day long. I mean, I'm 26 years old. I started watching the game at 5 years old. So I grew up looking forward to Monday Night Football. And the way Madden broke it down, you know, they break out the little yellow pin on the screen during replays. And that was definitely, that's good memories. And he taught me a lot about the game. Number one, no question, but I will make the case that, I mean, if Romo decides to stick with this and do it a long time, he's going to be in the conversation. I mean, depending on how many years he does it. Of course, Madden's a trailblazer, but man, Romo, I mean, from what we're seeing so far, he looks like he's on track to be one of the greats.
Thank you, Carlos. And what Ray said, among other things, was, well, Romo, Collinsworth, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, and that is incorrect, sir.
Well, as long as a matter of opinion is now declared to be factual, you go right ahead.
Isn't that what you were just doing for 10 minutes with John Madden?
Well, okay. Does anybody want to tell me who is demonstrably better than him?
Because
the question was, who's the best football announcer of all time? That was the question. It wasn't about who's the best football announcer you ever heard, or it wasn't the best football announcer of the era. I mean, it was very clearly who's the best broadcaster of all time. If you're going to ask the question that way, it's open and shut.
Matt, it's clear to me that Ray thought we were talking about Bill Romanowski from his earlier comments, and then he realized he was wrong, and he's tried to cover
Romo.
His tracks. Yeah, and I love Romo. On the text
classic
line,
wrong Romo confusion. Happens all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, or Sergio. He probably thought we were talking about Sergio. Madden is the GOAT, but Romo is a good predictor, hands down. Are we forgetting John Gruden? 888-957-9570.
No, we're not.
Who are these guys not with really. You, Ray? Jessica Simpsons? I don't appreciate that at all. Yeah. Romo could be great if his back doesn't break next season. Well, Jessica Simpson was a big, her and Romo. You know, with that, we welcome you to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
It's a and very outdated Jessica Simpson joke, okay? You could have gone Candace Crawford / Candace Crawford Romo at this point. I don't know that Jessica Simpson is still the play.
Yeah, it took me a while, too. I was like, wait, what? Oh, yeah. Tim says, recency bias Romo doesn't have a full career yet. I know, and I don't know about you, Matt. That's kind of the point I'm making already.
Yes.
He's had a staggering impact already. What about Kevin Harlan, who's also getting some mention here?
Harlan's great, man, although I think he's better at basketball, but he's also very good at football, and I love listening to his voice on just about anything. He's definitely in the discussion.
Jason says, let's see if we like Romo in 5 more years. He just finished his 3rd year. Give him some time. He's still close to every OC, and, of course, he knows. Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, he does a good job. I think his voice is going to go. Have you noticed? And, of course, he's been calling out signals for decades. Sometimes his voice sounds a little, yeah, almost a little Fauci-esque. Like, I don't know if he's going to make it for 5 more years, Ray.
No, I think he's done.
I'm just saying it's tough on the pipes.
What about Cosell?
No, I think he's going to have a short career, and then the rest of the time he's going to have somebody, you know, doing sign language for him in the booth.
Hey, man, he can live for the rest of his life off of 1 year's salary. He's going to be fine. So someone on the text line mentioned Howard Cosell. You guys are going to have to cover that because he's really – I don't know if he was dead, but he was more or less off the air before I was an aware human being. So – where does he rank in all this?
I'll let Ray go first, because otherwise I'll say something, and he'll go, well, no, that's not right. So you just go ahead, Ray.
Well, I'll just agree with you. You go ahead. I'll just say, boy, Whitey really nailed it there. Go ahead.
I'm kidding. Please.
I would love to hear
about you're mean-spirited, and my self-esteem is damaged.
Cosell was original hot taker, right?
No, he was the original sort of not hot taker as much as the guy who reacted to the last thing he saw. And he benefited greatly from a guy who is underrated in this context, which was Don Meredith, who both knew the football and could deliver it in not only an informative but entertaining way. Cosell could not do this without Meredith sort of evening off his roughest edges, because Frank.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.